Now, a little aside, because I know I've got to kind of wrap this up here. Jesus took the bread, and I just want to give this. I mentioned this in the first service too. By the way, if you want to run a little compare and contrast between the first covenant and the second covenant, you can find the covenant that God made with the people of Israel back in the Sinai wilderness, back in 1500 BC, 1400 BC. You can find that in Exodus chapter 24. If you want to just write that down, do your own compare and contrast between Exodus 24, the covenant that God makes with the people there, and the Matthew 26 passage and Luke 22, where God's making a new covenant with his people. You can compare and contrast that there. That's interesting reading, and it's good stuff for those of you who like to study more. But let me just share with you one little thing, and this is totally aside. It's a practical principle, and I shared it this morning. I believe the Lord wants me to share it here today, because I think there's somebody, I don't know who it is, but I think God's got something for somebody here today about business. Okay, I want you to listen. There is a verse here. It says, as they were eating, Jesus took the bread, verse 26. He took the bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it. I want to take those little 4 points right there, and I want to just do a completely separate message. Are you okay with that? Just quickly. It reminds me of a time when Jesus was feeding the multitudes. 5,000 people, 5,000 men, plus their wives and children, that had come to listen to him preach. They were hungry. They had gone days without food, and Jesus said to his disciples, feed them. Do you remember the story? They didn't have any food. They said, where are we going to get enough food? Even if we had a year's wages, we couldn't feed these people. And then one little boy brought his sack lunch, basically, 5 loaves and 2 fish. You've heard the story, right? And he gave that to Jesus. Jesus took it, blessed it, broke it, and gave it. Those 4 steps are interesting to note because they appear more than once in the scripture, and there's a little ritual along with that. And I'd like to suggest that we're living in an environment right now where we have, you know, a down economy. There's not a lot of, you know, there's not a lot of jobs out there, not a lot of good jobs. People are struggling to get employment. I want to suggest that God chooses, in every generation, God chooses people to be the recipients of his blessing for the purpose of handing that out. And I want to tell you this morning, this is a prophetic word, okay? Just humor me. This is a prophetic word for somebody here who's business-minded, okay? And I don't know who you are. Stop staring at the bread. Take it. Okay? The business opportunity that God is placing before you, take it. But when you take the bread, when you take that opportunity, you are not taking it for yourself. You are taking it for the purpose of giving it away. There are many, many businesses in the world. There are many people who are very selfish with their businesses. There are people who only think about themselves. They're narcissistic. We've got a world full of it. But God wants to provide employment for his people because God provides our daily bread. Would you not agree? In the Lord's Prayer, we pray, give us this day our daily bread. God knows what we have need of. In Matthew chapter 5, he says, I know what you need. The birds of the air, I know what they need. I feed them every day. The flowers of the field are well dressed. I'll do the same thing for you if you seek my kingdom first. So I want you to know that God is inspiring certain individuals. Now, this is not for everybody, but there are certain individuals who are called by God to take the bread. When you take that business opportunity, I want you to consider it as something you need to bless, something you need to sanctify. First thing, he took it. He made it his own. Secondly, he blessed it. He sanctified it and gave it to God. If God is giving you a business opportunity, you take it, say, all right, I'm not going to dilly-dally here. I'm going to get involved and I'm doing this thing. Take it. Then you bless it. You give it to God. You say, this is God's business. This belongs to God. This is entirely God's. It does not belong to me. It didn't come from me. I will not keep it for myself. This is completely dedicated to the Lord. And I will sanctify every part of it. I want to thank God for the Cathy family and Chick-fil-A who sanctified their business to the Lord. I want to thank God for that. Now, I don't care what your stand is on that, on those political issues, but I'm going to tell you they did a really awesome thing. They stood up for what they believe. They're generous. They give willingly, and they established a principle. They said, we will stand for the Word of God and what God teaches. We'll love everybody. We'll serve everybody, but we will not endorse behavior and call what is evil good and what is good evil. They sanctify their business before the Lord, and you know what? On account of that, God has given them something that they can give away to many, many other people. I believe God is looking to entrust individuals in this church right here today with something bigger than what you've had before. You need to take it and bless it, and then you need to break it, because it's not for you. It's not for you. Why do we break the bread? Because we're going to share it with everybody else. Why do we break the bread? Because we're going to share it with everybody else. So, my friends, this is not for your massive retirement. This is not for your fancy car. This is not for your fancy home. It's time to break that business. At least break your goal and begin thinking about what's happening with this, because it is God's provision, not for you alone. It is God's provision for those around you as well. And then, after breaking it, he gave it. Let's wrap up the deal, guys. It's time for you to take what God's given you and begin to give it away. I believe that God's going to do something for the unemployed in our community, because somebody in this fellowship that's here today listening to this, or somebody that's listening online right now, somebody's going to get a God idea. And God's going to place it in their hearts, and they're going to jump into it. And they're going to go with all their heart. They're going to take it, bless it, break it, and give it. And I believe it's going to be a solution for some of our immediate employment needs here in the church. And I want you to be praying. Maybe you're the one. It's a prophetic word, and I'm offering that. Let it be before the Lord. If it falls flat, I'm a false prophet. Stone me. That same principle, by the way, applies relationally. Some of you have been very gifted by the Lord relationally. It's time to take the gift that God has given you. Make it your own. Stop second-guessing yourself. Take it. Bless it. Break it. Give it. This morning we're going to celebrate the covenant that God makes with us. And I'm going to invite you guys to share this with me. And maybe I can get some of the ushers to come. That'd be great. And if we can hand some of those things out, thank you. We're going to share that covenant meal together. And I want you to know that you're invited by the Lord to something deeper. You say, who's allowed at the table of the Lord? Well, if Judas was invited to partake at the table of the Lord, then I can tell you everybody's invited. All right? You don't have to pre-qualify. But I will tell you that Judas got absolutely nothing from that, because he didn't enter into that covenant. But here this morning, you can say, yes, Lord, I do. You can. You can do that through the taking of this communion meal. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. That's what you can do this morning. You can say, yes, Lord, I'm yours. I'm yours, entirely yours. And if you give your heart to Jesus, my friends, then you come tell me, because we're going to have a baptism. That's the other thing the Lord told us to do. The symbolic nature of baptism is just powerful. Dunking people in the water, it's like they're buried under that water. The old person's gone, and when they come up out of that, they're brand new. You ever want a fresh start? You ever want a new start? You want to feel like you put to death that old you, and you get raised in Christ brand new? Well, that's what baptism is all about. You do it once, just once, not every Sunday. I know some of us like to do it every Sunday, but no, you baptize one time. But if you would like that, we need to talk. This morning, I want you to just take that cup and I want you to take that bread. I want you just to listen for a moment to the Lord, okay? Tara, what do you have?
The Lord just keeps speaking this to me, that in Ephesians 5, I think it's Paul, talks about marriage and wives submitting and husbands loving and all of those fabulous things that Eric was talking about today. But in verse 31, he says, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." Verse 32, it says, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." And I just keep getting this whole thing about the marriage between us and Jesus and how he has totally completed us. And that old covenant, I was thinking before you preached, the old covenant was Jesus, or God, was in the pillar. He was in the fire by night, in the cloud by day. And now he is in us. He has reconciled us. He is the fullness of everything bodily in the Godhead. And yet that spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is inside of us. And we are supposed to break it and take it and break it and give it, because Jesus is asking us to give ourselves and give all those gifts that he gave each one of us individually, because we're not going to look like each other all the time. Oh my gosh, I have so much to say. I just can't say it all. But.
Amen. Amen. I heard a teaching this week from a guy who said, gave an example of covenantal relationship. He said it was kind of like this. He said, imagine, I'll just use myself as an example. I'll use his story. Imagine, you guys know me, you know Tammy, you know we have 21 years of marriage, we have two grown kids, kids in college, and it's great. Our lives are wonderful and rich and full, and we have a wonderful commitment to each other. But now imagine you go out to eat on Wednesday night, and you see me, I'm skipping prayer, and I'm down at the restaurant, and I'm with some other woman. She's not Tammy, and I'm sitting there, candlelit dinner, and we're just having a romantic dinner. How would you feel? You'd be like, "That's not right. That's not right." Well, what if I came to you and I said to you, "Well, don't worry, it's okay, it's relaxed. You know, Tammy and I, we have dinner together, every Friday night, and we're committed to each other. Friday night's our night, but Wednesday, she doesn't mind. It's just Wednesday night, In fact, 29 nights out of the month, Tammy and I are together, but." Just once a month, I'm with this other person. How would you feel about that? Do you think that would fly? That's not commitment, is it? That's not exclusive. She wouldn't be my one and only. Now, you think Tammy wants to share me with anybody else? I don't think so. And I certainly don't want to share her with anybody else. Forget it. If I was to find out that she was doing something like that, I'd be upset. I wouldn't go home after my candlelit dinner with somebody else and go home and expect Tammy to say to me, "Hey, honey, how was your dinner? Did you have a good time? That's great. I'm so glad. I don't mind you seeing other people as long as Friday night is ours." But that's how we treat God. That's how we treat God. We say, "I'm yours on Sunday. But you know what? I want to live this portion of my life by myself." So don't mess with my stuff, God. You can have most of me, but all of me? No. This morning, I'm asking you to consider, not your sin, although that's probably a good thing to think about from time to time, the fact that, my gosh, we're dead in our sins, but I don't want you to think about your sin today, because honestly, it's not your sin or your righteousness that's the issue here. What the issue is your relationship. Do you really want to have an if-then relationship with God? You looking for friendship with benefits with God? Or are you willing to say, "God, I want everything you have, and I'm willing to give you everything I am, and I want our relationship to be based on the covenant of Christ's blood, and I'm willing to say to you, Lord, I may not know how to overcome my own sinful pride and my issues, but day by day, as I draw closer to you, I know that those sins will be put aside. I know that you'll help me. I know that you'll help me to overcome everything the devil throws at me, and little bit by little bit, we'll get to where I need to be. I'll be sanctified as we draw closer to your coming and your return, Lord. I'll get more and more like you. But in the meantime, I want that relationship now. I want that relationship now. And if you are willing to do that, I want you to take that bread right now. I want you to lift it up before the Lord and say, I do. I do. And you can go ahead and eat that. And when you lift up that cup, I want you to think about the price that he paid, the price that he paid. God gave his life so you could have it. That's what you're looking at right there. We're not just talking about some cheap thing, but some cheap trick here. He didn't just offer you some, you know, some cosmetic jewelry and a party dress and one of those little things that you can blow. He didn't offer you one of those. He gave you the most valuable thing in the world, the most valuable thing in the universe. The universe wouldn't exist without it. He gave you his life, his very life's blood. He died so you could live. And he was raised to new life so you could live eternally. I want you to think about that. And if you're ready to say, yes, Lord, no part-time commitment to you. I'm talking about full-time. I'm ready for that covenant. Would you just take that blood, as it were, that grape juice, and say, I do. I do. And go ahead and drink that. Oh, Lord Jesus, today, all across this room, our hearts have been touched, Lord, and some of us are making a fresh commitment to you for the first time. Maybe for some of us, it's a fresh commitment of something that was old and stale. God, we don't want to have an if-then relationship. We want the full covenant. Jesus, we're calling upon your name. We're saying, yes, Lord, because of your covenant with us, have mercy on us. Because of your covenant, have grace upon us. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. And Lord, let your mercy and your grace follow us. Let goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our lives. God, we are yearning for this kind of relationship. We understand now how you were yearning to have that meal with your disciples, and even how you're yearning to have it with us today. We want to give ourselves wholeheartedly to you in this beautiful relationship. We want to be your bride, Christ. We want to be your bride. And we invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and change us on the inside. Make us different. Make us new. Bring us to newness of life. Take away every blemish and every spot, every sin, every wrinkle of worldliness and carnality, and just demolish it all, Lord, and make us brand new, beautiful, beautiful in your sight. Give us beauty instead of ashes, Lord, the oil of joy instead of mourning. Let the morning star rise in our hearts, and let that life come and just billow out of us, oh God. Let there be rivers of living water gushing forth from us. We pray in Jesus' name. And I ask your blessing on these seated here today, that they will go home with this burning in their hearts, that they will make commitments to you, not as some sort of a, you know, come down to the altar and raise your hand, but as a true, genuine commitment, falling on their knees before you and saying, oh God, I turn from those old things, all those idols, all that sin. I turn to gaze upon your face, to open up my heart and to say, come in. May that be in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.